in an employee's decision to remain at the university. So in that regard, we're preparing to assess campus climate via university-wide survey that we plan to launch this fall, with results available sometime in the spring. Other factors that affect retention include competition from employers who are also looking for highly qualified and diverse employees. This makes it imperative that we create an environment where employees feel welcomed and where they can be successful at the university. Two areas that are particularly notable are the need for professional development opportunities and the need to define clearer paths for career advancement at the university. There are a number of things the campuses and the EEO directors are doing. For instance, when possible, we meet with search committees to emphasize affirmative action and equal opportunity goals based on the campus and UA affirmative action plans. Those meetings include discussions about recognizing and overcoming biases. And since the hiring of APs is primarily a decentralized process, we also consult with hiring managers to develop recruitment strategies in an effort to generate diverse candidate pools that place us in a position to meet our affirmative action goals. Additionally, there are several initiatives at both the university and campus levels to address issues related to diversity and climate. I've already mentioned the university-wide However, in addition to that, the Chicago campus, for instance, has implemented a dispute resolution program to address issues before they become formal complaints. The Springfield campus has formed alliances with the community in an effort to improve diversity on its campus. And the Urbana campus has taken the lead in developing online training to address workplace harassment issues that we hope will be rolled out fairly soon. And finally, there are several committees that focus on creating a diverse and inclusive educational and work environment. Among those are the Diversity and Access Task Force, chaired by Vice President Mina Rao, the Chicago Campus's Chancellor Committees on the Status of Blacks, LGBT, Latinos, and several others, and the Inclusive Illinois Initiative at Urbana, which supports and encourages programs, workshops, seminars, classes, and other initiatives that advance the campus's commitment to diversity and inclusivity. Sorry, I've been moving papers around and apparently moved in the wrong direction. Okay. So what do we do to improve our situation? Here we've compiled a list of some ways to enhance or complement what we're already doing. The first is to enhance compliance and diversity while making diversity foundational. We've already done some work through the Diversity and Access Task Force to try and achieve that, to incorporate diversity in what we do at the university, at least to have it at the table. Implement plans to aggressively address underrepresentation via search efforts. Increase our efforts to create an inclusive campus environment through either existing programs, which all the campuses have several that are targeted either towards staff or students. Provide uniform online search committee training, which President Hogan mentioned earlier. We're exploring that possibility so that our search committees are aware of biases and our affirmative action goals. Work to develop advancement opportunities, I mentioned that before, for APs. Work to develop and enhance existing opportunities for spousal and partner hires. And that goes along with the concept of if we hire diverse faculty, typically their spouse or partner would be a diverse hire as well. Implement professional development mentoring and leadership programs that help employees improve their skills and prepare them to assume higher level responsibilities when they are available. So those are our high level recommendations. And that's the conclusion of my presentation. Each of the directors are here. We would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mike. Other comments or questions?
I have a question. When you look at a flat lack of progress over a period of 10 years, that tells us something, that we're not serious about it. It also tells us that there's no enforcement. There's no real will to change. And it seems to me that of the ways that we can improve diversity is that there has to be some mandate from the top and some regular monitoring as these APs are hired. Otherwise, we'll get lost in the process, and 10 years from now, we'll see the same lack of progress that we've seen in the last 10. And so I would suggest that we look at some kind of a mechanism by which we can, quote unquote, enforce some compliance with this policy if we're serious about it.
Jim, my comment would echo that. I'd say a problem with those 10-year numbers is that I don't feel like I own those 10-year numbers, and I can't be held responsible for that.
I own the last three.
No, I know, and I think we should look at, you know, what's happened in 2010 and 2011, because we really had an ability to influence that. We should own those numbers, and more importantly, they should own us. And that is our track record, that's our legacy. And I think we need to see what we've done. And I was going to ask that they republish just, you know, what's happened to the hires, new hires, during those periods. I wonder on page two whether you could show us, you mentioned I wonder if you could republish this as a bar graph and show us the same data for the state of Illinois, which you talked about a little bit. And then whether you could show us the same data for people who have the prerequisite of, I think it was a BA or BS.
Bachelor's degree. All positions require a bachelor's degree.
So could we see the same data for the state or for the country of people that have bachelor degrees? And then compare ourselves. What?
By group.
Yeah, so we could say, you know, are we ahead or behind the bachelor degree carrying portion of the population? On page four, I think that's really the data that I was looking for, to Jim's point. Can we look at how the university has done in 2010 and 11? And on page five, could you explain what who makes this decision about the local or narrowly defined regional scope? Can we influence that?
Our searches are primarily decentralized, and so the hiring manager for a particular department actually would decide where we would search. The EEO directors and the offices would typically advise those departments where they can search for positions based on our affirmative action plan and how well we're doing with recruitment in a certain area.
But can we make a policy decision that research is going to be at least regional? And would that impact our outcomes?
Yes. I think so. I think part of the issue is defining what regional means. And typically, searches, part of the consideration is the type of position that you're searching for and where you're likely to get a diverse candidate pool. In some cases, if you stay close to home, for lack of a better phrase, you may get a diverse candidate pool. But for other positions that require specialized training, you may have to increase where you search, whether that be regional, for example, the surrounding states, or nationally, depending on the qualifications for the position.
But as a general rule, the broader the search, the better the pool.
Yes.
So can we take no action on that?
Do you have the number? Would you be able to get numbers on the retention rates for minority employees, for minority AP employees versus people who aren't? I mean, if we could recruit all we want, but if we can't retain, then I think that would be a big problem and something we need to address a little differently.
Yeah, I agree. to the issue of the, would it be helpful if there was a policy, can there be a policy that every search has to have a wider pool?
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. To which question? Sorry.
Well, that could be a policy. I mean, there would be a process.
But would that policy be helpful?
I think it would be helpful, very helpful.
Yeah, we've discussed, at least Minnan and I, discussed the sort of accountability factor of this and how do we accomplish that. So I think that goes towards introducing that as part of the process.
What are our goals?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you what the goals are off the top of my head. The goals are primarily, they come from our affirmative action plans. And each campus and UA has a separate affirmative action plan. And those goals are generated based on the availability of individuals that meet prerequisite qualifications for positions. And then we compare what's out there, what's available, to what we have at the university. And for those job groups that we lack adequate diversity or underrepresentation is what we call it, we set a goal. And those goals are what we use when we talk to departments about where we should be recruiting and how we should recruit in order to get individuals that'll help us meet those goals. Does that?
In Bob's report, in the one that Chancellor Easter provided us, there's specific goals by colleges, which is really interesting. And then they have a target for next year, and they track whether or not they're ahead or behind.
For APs?
I think so.
Yeah, it would be by APs. There's a civil there's a plan for civil service and APs and faculty.
I think we should see that. Should see it next to what we actually have.
The affirmative action goals.
Right. If those are the goals that we're talking about.
Yes.
I think
it would
just be helpful to see them alongside where we are.
Are there legal restrictions that could hinder our efforts?
I'm not sure.
Yes.
What the question?
There always are. To any question I can answer.
There are legal considerations. You can't have a search and have it race exclusive, but you can give preferences.
Yes.
I think Larry has a point as well.